All right. So this is my third class in the 10 fields of Zen, covering my 10 fields of Zen, essentially a book that I have written. And this is the field of Zazen. And it's a little awkward because we just did like a 4 week series talking about Zazen. So hopefully, well, you're here tonight, so I guess, or maybe you didn't know what we were talking about. But I call it Zazen, our total response to life. So hopefully we'll talk about other things than we've talked about in the last few weeks. I wanted the first part of the class to be kind of about practicalities, about challenges to our sitting practice, sitting regularly, giving ourselves wholeheartedly to sitting, and various ways that people have addressed that successfully, to kind of sharing these kinds of ideas, which, I may give you some advice on your Zazen, but it's actually something somebody else says that might actually be really helpful. So I'm going to share those challenges and various solutions. And then the second part I was going to talk about, if you have read my chapter on Zazen, on the field of Zazen, I talk about these five efforts: building tolerance for life, making peace with life, becoming intimate with life, seeing the true nature of life, and being one with life. So we'll talk about those and my vision of how to. These are descriptive, not prescriptive. So I would say these are things that you experience if you deeply and sincerely engage your Zazen practice. And they're things that happen kind of in a way over the course of your practice over many years, over a lifetime, but also they can happen over the course of one Zazen period. Certainly, they happen over the course of one meditation retreat or session. We experience all of these different aspects of Zazen. Some of you may be wondering why I talk about Zazen so much. And honestly, in some Zen communities, like, they don't talk about Zazen at all. I think of it just like all kinds of Dharma practice, is we're talking about Zazen to challenge your ideas about Zazen. We're not talking about Zazen to complicate your Zazen, ideally, right? Not now you have more instructions you need to think about, or more things you need to try to do, or it's not meant to make it more complicated. It's meant to challenge the ideas that you have about it, which we inevitably have. We inevitably have, I'm doing it, I'm not doing it. Whatever ideas we have, Zazen is more profound than that. So, in terms of practicalities, so all different kinds of challenges to, I mean, there's different aspects of Zazen, right? So, like, you could say there's challenges to getting around to sitting. Working it into your busy life, getting yourself on the cushion, not just, always postponing it. There's challenges when we sit down and we're, I don't know, just half-hearted about it. There's challenges when we're sleepy, like I was tonight. I have not found anything to do about that, except just try to get more sleep and not get upset. Let's see, they're facing discomfort or boredom or sleepiness, all kinds of things. So What is a challenge that you have faced in your Zazen practice, and what is something you've discovered that helps, or whatever? We can start with like challenges. Maybe you have a kind of an approach to offer, and maybe you don't. If you don't, maybe other people will chime in and talk about that. So, anybody want to start us? Abby.
Hi. Sorry, my dog just barked and she was surprised that I talked. So I have a 10-month-old and I'm in a PhD program and I own two dogs. And my daughter wakes up at 5:30 in the morning, as do my dogs. And I have a loving, supportive husband who I like to spend time with. And between all of that, trying to fit in Zazen is interesting. Like I can get in at most 20 minutes a day, 4 to 5 days a week. And any guidance on how to slip it in more consistently and find ways to get to that 30-minute goal would be fantastic.
And when do you when you find that 20 minutes, like how and when do you find that typically?
On good days, it's when my daughter goes down for one of her naps. She's at two naps right now. On bad days, it's during breaks between classes or when my husband is putting my daughter down to bed.
Yeah, I'm sure there's others out there faced similar things for one reason or another. Anybody have some things that have worked in terms of making sure Zazen doesn't get neglected in the middle of a really busy life? And in a way, it's like that's almost probably even more important when you're really busy. Leah.
My way into all this has been through my altar. I set it up and I've always had an altar, so that's been consistent. But I set it up in such a way, it's so elaborate, it cannot be ignored. It's in my bedroom at the foot of my bed, and I have to walk right by it. Like I could literally stumble out of my bed and like see it, and it's just like, and there's no way to avoid it. So in that way, it's present visually, and then I sit in front of it and I love being there. So I've made it very aesthetically pleasing so that I'll just show up. So that's kind of half the battle. It's like, oh, look at that beautiful altar. It seems very shallow, but I know me. That's what I'm like.
Other ideas? I mean, I can say my piece, but y'all, well, not everybody's heard it before. I mean, Abby, you wouldn't have heard it before, probably. I mean, there's consistency is more important than the length of time. So, like, two segments of 10 minutes or something like, like sometimes we have to just let go of the whole idea of the 30 minutes, because then we'll just be like, well, I don't have time for that. So I have at certain times in my life just tried to sit for 5. And that made a like, okay, before I go to bed, like there's, because 5 is like, there is no excuse for not sitting for 5 minutes. Like there's just, there is no matter how busy, there's ridiculous. So then for 5 minutes, right? Sometimes it's like the sweetest, like the best zazen. It's just like, because you're not going to be there all that long. And then another thing was the, because I know for a lot of people, finding a quiet space where you're not going to be disturbed is a tricky thing. So I don't know, that might not work for everybody, but there was a time when I lived in a small little one bedroom apartment with somebody, and I sat in the bathroom. So I would ask him, how you doing? Do you need to use the bathroom for the next half an hour? And then I would go in there, and I mean, just like, I would know that's my space now. I'm undisturbed. So anyway, that worked. Did you? Yeah, you, Erica. Yeah.
Yeah, this might really only apply to people with little kids like you, Abby. When my kids were little enough to be taking naps, I still found I couldn't relax because there was that part of me that always was listening for them. So I would just find an excuse to leave the house every single day. Like, I have to go to CVS. Like, I have to do something, like, and maybe I wouldn't even get out of the car. I would just like sit in the car, because it was like the only time I got to myself. But I would meditate and it felt like amazing. So I don't know if that's feasible for you, but that's what
Nice.
I did.
Very
I just
nice.
left the house.
Yes. Yes. She had twin boys who I can't imagine. Yeah. Like, did they ever go for naps at the same time?
Yes, because I didn't give them a choice. Nap time.
John.
Abby, I find it very impressive how much zazen time you get, as busy as you are, and to have all of us making suggestions for you to find more times, it just seems crazy to me. Kudos to you. The one comment I wanted to make is, don't wait till you retire, or your kids are gone, to go to session. If at some point in time you can plan a vacation and just get away, a session is really good, and it'll improve your zazen and all sorts of things. So I highly recommend that if you can get away.
Other challenges? Alan.
I just listened to a podcast today, talking about some Asian, maybe it's a Taoist book, but it's very related to Zen too. It's talking about what is a, I'm not sure if they used the term Zazen because it was in Chinese. It's Chan, but it was talking about the secret to it. It's more like, well, I was just reading the car says it's how that's from the what is it, Dogen's cars, I think. It's like the thoughts you go through your mind during the zazen is like the cloud through in a clear sky. And that book also talk about something that you are the book sky, or I am the clear sky. The thoughts go through my mind are the clouds. And what you do is to just you observe the cloud, but you don't get dragged by the clouds. You just let the pass, very much like what the car was saying. But he also said that the podcast was also saying the secret is actually you can practice Zazen 24 hours a day during your daily life. Like in your life, you see somebody living in a luxury house, or they drive an electric car, and you start have, what is it, the jealous or envy. That's the cloud in your passing through the clear sky. Your heart get disturbed because of that. So you mean sometimes it's unavoidable, but you just observe your feeling and let it pass. Don't get dragged by the cloud. And same thing when you're in the same room with somebody you really don't like, you kind of have a emotion, your heart get disturbed again, and then you observe it and then you let it pass. Don't get dragged into it. So the more you practice that kind of zazen, and your heart becomes much clearer, and then you are in the supposed state. I don't know what is zazen is supposed to do, but it has a supposed state. There's one more thing I was talking about. I just can't remember that anymore. But it's basically, it says you practice zazen the entire, I mean, 24 hours a day, the entire time, not just finding the time and place to sit.
Well, nobody seems to have any issues with their zazen practice.
Body pain, experiencing body pain. I mean, I sit with it, but how do other people engage with it?
Yeah. Sitting with pain. It's an issue for quite a lot of people. I mean, obviously there are, let's just assume that everybody who sits with pain has used their great skills and innovation to try to not have pain. So now we're starting from a place of like, you've done what you can, you've taken care of yourself, but there's still pain. Anyone have any luck, I want to say, I don't know, whatever, any ways that you have worked with it so that it's easier to bear? Maya.
Emily, speaking up because I just recently was talking to Domio about this. I just had my first session like a couple of sessions ago at the beginning of the 10 Fields of Zen. So I'm fairly new to coming here. But one of the things before even joining, you know, Brightway Zen was sitting for long stretches of time were extremely painful. I don't really have a great setup either. I just have a cushion, so I'm still going through it. But the suggestion that Domio gave was like to, if you're sitting cross-legged, or I guess it would work if you're on like sitting kneeling as well, but instead of like trying to suck in your abdomen, because I have some lower back and mid-back pain, where like you're trying to sit up straight, it's almost like destabilizing your core. So instead, like pushing out against your diaphragm stabilizes your core better. And that really helped with my back pain a lot. I'm currently still experiencing hip flexor pain though. So I have been going through some of that in the last few like longer sessions, and would love any tips from anybody that has that now that I've fixed the lower back problem, but the hips are still hurting.
Not even sure the hip flexor. Is that in the inside or the outside?
Well, I'm probably saying it because it sometimes is on the inside of the hip, but then today was on the outside, and that's probably, I need to stretch. So your previous statement about doing everything you can to fix the issue is not accurate in my case. It's been a while since I stretched.
Yeah, I mean, because the good thing is for most of us that you can build up that flexibility in the hips. There's other things which just like knees that there's no like, I'm just gonna work my knee really hard and then it'll be better. It's like that's not how knees work, but fortunately, some aspects of the hip can be. Just kind of allow that, allow it to open. And also, it's been a while since we had talked about this. So then there's, you can think of dealing with pain like a stoplight, like green is no pain, and yellow is pain that you experience as you're sitting, but when you get up, it goes away, right? And so, and then maybe over time, that kind of, the body might get used to it. I mean, I remember my legs falling asleep all the time when I first started sitting, but then I don't know, somehow my body got used to it. But then red is pain that like is really excruciating or gets like worse. It doesn't go away after sitting. So clearly you're doing something to exacerbate some injury that you have or something like that. So anyway, that's kind of a helpful guide that some discomfort is okay. John.
For me, it's important to distinguish between pain that's just painful and pain that's actually hurting you, and make sure you don't exacerbate a problem with sitting with pain that's bad for you. I found a chiropractor to be helpful at times. But the thing I wanted to say about sitting with pain is include everything. Don't just sit with the pain, include everything. And then you can kind of work through your first three things that you're going to talk through: building tolerance for life, peace with life, and intimacy with life, and work with pain on those three. Include pain.
Yeah, there's some really interesting whatever is happening. So that's kind of there's the building tolerance for life part, right? Also of just most of the time when we're in pain, if we say like include it, it's kind of like, oh, well, I'm paying attention to it, believe me. Like, but we're paying attention to it kind of like we're over here and we're like we're noticing it and like, oh, is it getting worse? And where is it? And like, what can I do about it? And so we are like focused on the pain, but we're not in this way just kind of once you know you're not causing yourself more injury, just not fighting it, not wishing it was any different, which is it's difficult to do, but it in a way it's like I mean it's in some you wouldn't say it was a blessing, but like it is a tool that is actually can make your zazen very very alert and on point because you have it ha you have to otherwise it'd be too miserable. Tyler.
Yeah, I think what I was going to say sort of touched on something similar, and that's that I have like rheumatoid arthritis. So it's a chronic pain, but it's not the same thing as like I'm bending my knee in a weird way and it's damaging my knee. It's a very different kind of pain that's just sort of sometimes just there consistently or whatever. But it's yeah, when it first started coming on, my earlier in my meditation practice, it really was able to be a yeah like almost like a grounding in that moment. You could really just be like, this pain is happening and it wasn't going to go away, so getting it from the cushion wasn't going to change that. So being there kind of allowing to just like really just like Yeah, the pain's here, and I'm just gonna be with it. And it allowed you a unique opportunity to just engage with it in a different way with your pain instead of walking around all day being like, oh, it hurts to do this, it hurts to that, whatever. But like, I'm here with it in this moment, and I'm just gonna have to be there. And it gives a different relationship with pain and a different relationship with your zazen. So it can have some really positive teaching techniques or teaching possibilities, and other times it's really frustrating, but sometimes you could just like really like get in there and appreciate it, use it.
Emily.
I also live with a chronic pain condition, and something, I guess a couple things. First is for me, I've noticed that it can be useful to not just like notice the pain and sit with it, but I think kind of tease out different parts and in particular, like try to figure out what is the pain and what is an emotional reaction to the pain. And I find that acknowledging that is helpful for me in just figuring out what the experience is. But also, something that I felt kind of bad and weird about for like 10 minutes when I first started practicing with this group, but I typically do Zazen laying down. I can sit up, but I can't sit up on my own unless I'm propped up against something. So like I'll never be able to do the like sitting on a cushion with my spine, with my like ankles folded. And I do not feel bad at all anymore about doing Zazen laying down. And so just in case this is useful for anybody else to hear, and it really, when we read the Polishing a Tile book or excerpts from it, just the more of that book I read, the more I was like, oh, this is the right decision for me. Because everything he's talking about, and I've tried to do Zazen a lot of times sitting up in different types of positions. But it, yeah, I think maybe I'm just meant to do Zazen laying down, and maybe some other people are too, and I think that's okay.
Thank you for sharing. Fernando. Nope, you're still muted. It's tough on a phone.
Yes. yes, for me, I like to sit in the mornings. I don't have a problem with the silence, but I usually get some numbing. I don't know if it's numb legs. I call it the ants because it feels like there are a lot of ants. And so at about 15 minutes in, I hate. Well, I shouldn't use that word. I don't like not doing the 30 minutes because I set myself for 30 minutes. I don't like not doing the 30 minutes straight, but I have to accept or allow myself to stand up at the 15 minutes and do a couple minutes at Kinhin, and then I go back and then I sit, and that works for me, yes.
Oh, good. You may, I have no idea. I mean, I can't see how you sit, but just in case it helps. Sometimes our legs are falling asleep because we are, do you sit on a cushion? Because you are, sometimes our legs fall asleep because sitting too far back on the cushion. And then the cushion or the bench or whatever it is pressing on the nerves on the back of our thighs. And so you kind of sit those, like the bottom of your pelvic bones should be like right at the front edge of the cushion. So then almost your legs are almost like they're almost, there's very little pressure on the back of your legs. So you might just Try that. You might just try sliding a little further forward on the cushion and see if it helps with the legs falling asleep piece.
Yeah, because I was recently I was sitting more at the back, but I probably stayed for longer other times that I sat on the at the edge. I mean, I didn't have it clear, but it helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, and then, but everybody's body's different too, right? So then, there's somebody who here comes and she sits without a cushion at all. And clearly she's comfortable and she's sitting up nice and straight. So, like, who knows? Alan and then Erica.
I just want to add the one more point. I forgot about it, but then now I remember what was it. It's just like when you hear praises from people, you kind of feel lighted, like you kind of feel like you're proud of yourself, and that kind of thought pass through. That means like you're sitting in the zazen, same thing. There's something goes through your mind. That's where you observe it and then ignore it. Just don't follow. Then same thing when you hear criticism, you start react to it. Then you also observe it and ignore it. That's how you, well, at least what the book or the podcast we're talking about is how you practice kind of like zazen doing your daily life.
Thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to make a really quick plug for doing yoga because the whole point of yoga, like physical posture yoga, is to prime your body to sit in meditation for periods of time. And the other thing that's really interesting about yoga, if you do it long enough, you really start to understand the limitations of your body and how your body is different from other people's. And I just found that like super helpful for my own practice. Like I have really tight shoulders and neck. And so I just, I do like a few stretches before I start. And then like when I start to feel this get really tight, I start to relax it. And so I just I had to put that out there if it's helpful for anyone.
Yeah, I remember it's quite a while. My teacher, Gyokuko, she was there in the evening for evening meditation. Kyogen was there in the morning. And when the mornings, we were told she was doing her stretches. And that didn't like make, I was like, okay, whatever. And now I'm kind of like, yes. And then you reach an age where in the morning you do your stretching. If you want to be able to move around. So let's see.
That's pretty
Yeah, go
sick.
ahead.
When Fernando talked about pinhin, that's I found that's really helpful. A lot of times when I was starting to do meditation, if I found myself, if you had pain, of course you could get up and not being in, locked into the sitting position, which shouldn't be locked in, but it helps to continue the meditation in a position that you've got to have very slow, steady movement. And I think it helps also, like if you're in some mental frustration, it can help you. Because what will happen for me is I will lock into a battle. Like, no, I'm determined. I'm gonna sit here for however length of time I've decided I should sit there. And that's usually not a very productive period. I mean, I don't know that Sasa needs production, but it's usually, yeah, it's wow. And so typically it seems like it's better if I do find myself struggling to get up there and try some kinhin for a while. So, yeah. So.
Thank you. Other challenges? What about the how do what about like motivating yourself not just to put your butt on the cushion, but to actually, meditate, to really let go of everything, to give yourself to the process, which if you're anything like me, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Yeah, like what motivates you to kind of just lean into your zazen, to give yourself to it a little more, try to be more alert when we're not trying to like make it be any particular way, and yet I don't know. Maya.
Well, I have not been doing this for very long, but so I probably still have like, the whole like honeymoon phase, I'll call it that. But I have taken to, because when I meditated in the past before I was introduced to Zazen, I would close my eyes and it was very relaxing and everything. And Zazen has become almost a point of mental contention. Because there are things in my past that I have to confront during Zazen that I didn't have to confront when I closed my eyes and just did meditation, like it would go away. So I have the five remembrances on my mirror to recite daily, and in my bathroom, right outside of where I go into, because I do Zazen in a closet. So I concur, bathrooms and closets are great to do Zazen in. But it's just a reminder that I'm finite, that I'm going to die, that everyone is going to die. I'm going to lose everything. So, like, I need to do this right now because eventually it's going to lead to, I guess, greater understanding of myself and greater compassion for others and just like all the things that I want.
Thank you. Leah.
I read this, instructions for Zazen. It's on page one. I literally printed it out and I framed it, and it's sitting there on my elaborate altar, like right in front of me. So I like literally go up and up and up high and read the whole. It's been very useful. Thank you.
Sometimes I feel like I don't know, I don't want to say do well, but I feel like I do meditate and succeed at what we're trying to do. But I don't feel like I can direct that. I mean, sometimes it's just nothing. I mean, I'm bored or I'm waiting for the bell to ring. And I don't really have much success trying, shifting that. So it's kind of like it is what it is. I mean, sometimes I come with it, and sometimes I don't come with it. So to me, but I think that's part of it, just accepting that. What about the motivation to, sit for a whole day, to sit for a meditation retreat? Where do we get that when we're not trying to gain anything? I don't know what I will admit.
Many people know I hated Zazen for a very long time. And I don't know why I kept coming back, but I kept coming back. But I actually made peace with it through attending Sesshin. When you say motivation, you sit all day, but I was very nervous about Sesshin. And I had a little tantrum throughout the week that I had to get through in order to accept that I just needed to sit. And so I internally railed against my physical body, railed against my busy mind, railed against everything, and then finally just was like, okay, fine, I'll just do it.
I tell people, you know, because I do a intro to Zazen, you know, at least several times a month when new people come on Tuesdays or Sundays. And, you know, I say, just, you have no idea what your experience is going to be like. Doesn't really matter that much. Just keep doing it, see if it makes any difference in your life. Because for most of us, it helps us feel just a little bit more sane. It's kind of mysterious. So in that sense, you know, you don't need to talk about it or analyze it or evaluate it. We just keep doing it. And I think, you know, most of the value of it is not really what we're conscious of. It's just the fact that we have made that space in our life, put everything down to just be present with our life, even if apparently we don't make very good use of that time, we still have, right? And I think like that's almost like you know, just like if somebody's having a panic attack and you just have them breathe more deeply. You know, that's just kind of like, okay, I sat today. I can't be that bad, right? Like it's just I was able to make space for that.
I just want to make a plug for it not being a chore. I don't sit because I have it on my list to do. I sit because I was curious at the beginning, and I figured if I just follow the process, I'll just do the process. And maybe I was lucky that it worked out sooner for me, but I just want to say that, like, following the process, I don't know. For me, that's only the first step, because like you follow that process and then maybe you're not gaining something, but you're remembering something.
The nice way to put it.
It's not like it doesn't have a reward, I guess. I just, unless I'm experiencing something that is not,
No.
that it's a beautiful experience. And that if you follow the process, that will happen. It will just unfold.
Thank you. I mean, that is the irony is that we're like not trying to make anything happen, and we're not trying to be attached to some idea of like some particular state and all that. But that when we really do give ourselves over to it, I mean, and but like Yuka said, but you know, not always, whatever, you know. So sometimes, you know, like I slept through Zazen tonight. I just, you know, and then after I was like, okay, now I'm gonna give a class on Zazen. Whatever. And yet, you know, tomorrow morning, if everything aligns. I mean, there can be just, yeah, I love that. That's a beautiful way to put it, of just like, this is life. This is my life. That's why I say, for me, it's about creating, setting aside time and space for being intimate with life. And, I could just, there's a lot of things that I love to do and engage with in life, but it all can just kind of go by. And it's really only when I, not only when I sit, but it's especially when I sit that it's like, I'm not letting this moment just go by. I am fully present with it. And it will just like, bring tears to my eyes because it's so precious. Damn.
Just adding something in a similar vein, I'm talking about motivation. For me, just taking choice out of the equation entirely is important. So, I mean, it was a long time ago that I just decided that it wasn't, that I stopped asking myself if I was going to sit zazen on any particular day. It's just what I do. And so it doesn't really matter maybe so much in an individual sitting, if I'm sleepy, whatever, it's just part of the whole.
Yeah. Thank you. Also think of it as like an act of devotion sometimes. That's how I've sometimes we have so a couple times a year we have Zazen Kai where we sit all day. We get here really early and we sit all day and don't leave until like well after dark. And it can be, if everything aligns, it can be really great. And sometimes it doesn't, and then it's just kind of a painful, dull day. So it could be a little grueling because if you sit for a longer for meditation retreat, you may have a day like that, but then you have time to move through that. And so there's just pretty much inevitable that like there will be some cool times, right? Like, there'll be some times when like it feels nicer and more rewarding. But sometimes in that one day thing, it's not so much. So I do kind of prepare people with this sense of like, rather than thinking, I'm going to go to this one day retreat and like, yay, it's going to be great. More just like, I am doing this. I'm taking a day out of my life as an offering because that's what I do is periodically I just do nothing. And because that's the practice. And then it's like it's an act of devotion. And I suspect that when people do that, regardless of how the day went or seems to have gone, it still would make a difference. So, Vincent.
I had muted myself. Just a couple of observations. I think one of the big things is for me is that when I'm doing zazen, I'm totally giving up control and admitting that there is no control and there even shouldn't be. Another observation for me, the daily zazen is like a different kind of animal than the sessions. I mean, something different happens after the first few zazens in a session that makes it very different and good in most ways. And the third thing is that I noticed for myself and some other people I know, it seems like other people notice a change in you before you notice it in yourself. They'll say, what's happening? You look different, you are different. And this, the only thing that's different is, doing zazen regularly as opposed to regularly. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. I really, really encourage retreats and session. I find that there is an immense depth to Zazen. our zazen can get much deeper, but that kind of makes it sound like kind of like a meditative trance or something, and that's not what it is. It feels to me like a continuous discovery of what it really means to just sit. I've lost track of the number of times where I've, you know, sat and in session, because you just sit so much and so long, and like just inevitably the mind kind of gets bored generating all the extra stuff. So everyone's mind settles at least a little, right? It might all be relative, but everyone's mind settles somewhat. So we learn like the next level of what is possible. And then when we leave session, that may kind of slip away from us, but we know it. And over time, then we learn how to do that outside of session as well, to really let go. But I lost track of the number of times where I've sat and I'm like, oh, this is what it means to really just sit, right? Like, because you don't even, until in a way you let go of some of that extra piece, you're not even aware that you're holding on to it. And you let it go. It can be even simpler. I can allow the mind to be even quieter. All right. Thank you all for sharing some insights on zazen. Next week will be mindfulness. Mindfulness, which is what we do everywhere else other than the meditation seat. Kind of what Alan was talking about, although it's a little different. So we'll talk about that next week. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
If everyone could help put chairs away.